get started. We are on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph 30a. We got up to, we were discussing between Havinenu and Tfilat Sarah, basically when you don't have the Daven Hol Shmoneh Esrei. We said, right, Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Shua says, you never have to Daven Hol Shmoneh Esrei, just Daven a shortened version. That's your, Rabbi Akiva says, unless you're an expert. So we discussed in the dangerous place what you Daven, etc. Havinenu is like all 13 brachot put into one, and that counts as a real Shmoneh Esrei. The other stuff that you say in danger, you have to Daven again. Okay, so we're about 15 lines or so from the top of the page at the two dots, 30a, Lamed Hayarocheva Chamor. A person is riding on a donkey, and it comes time to daven. So what's he supposed to do? That's what the Mishnah says. This is probably a pretty common issue. Or you want to put it in modern terms, you're stuck in traffic on the 401, and it's getting dark, and it's mincha time. Do you pull the car over and get off and daven? What do you do? Hayarocheva Chamor, Tanu Rabbanan. Hayarocheva Chamor v'igiyaz man tfila, comes now to daven. You have a non-Jewish servant, let's say, who or somebody who already davened. He can hold on to the donkey. Yeret lemata, get off the donkey, vipalo, bimlav. But if not, donkey's going to go running away. Yeshev bimkomo vipalo. You should sit on the donkey and daven, even though you are seated. Ah, shalom aleichem, welcome back. Mazel tov. Everybody well? Okay. We just started. Rabbi Yomer, benkach u'benkach, regardless, yeshev bimkomo v'yitpalel. You never get off the donkey. You never get off the donkey. We're on Lamed Amud Aleph about halfway down the page. L'fisha in da'ato miyushevet alav. You know what? You don't feel good. Even if you have somebody holding your donkey, you're nervous about it. You're traveling. You don't want to get off the donkey and daven. Amar Rav Avitei mei Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Halacha karebi, we follow this. It's better to daven when you're seated, in contrary a little better, than to sort of, you know, pull the car off to the side of the road and get up. It's you won't contrary as much. Okay, next set of two dots right by the Tosfot on Lamed Amud Aleph, Mismach Geula L'Tfila, the Gemara that's sort of opposite that bottom Tosfot, Tana Rabbanan. Suma, a blind person. U'misheino yachol l'chaven et haruchot, and somebody who doesn't know which direction is Jerusalem. I think he should have his heart towards our God in heaven. You should daven towards God. This is a relatively famous Gemara. A person is standing outside the land of Israel. See, the Gemara doesn't say he should face the direction, like, you know, the way we do it. Not that they aren't saying that, but what they're saying is his heart should be Keneged Eretz Yisrael. He should put his heart towards the land of Israel. Shenemar v'palalu elecha derech artzam. You have to daven towards the land of Israel. Shalom aleichem. That's where all our tefillot go. Hayah omed be'Eretz Yisrael. If a person standing in the land of Israel, yechaven libo keneged Yerushalayim. So he has to face Jerusalem. Shenemar v'palalu el Hashem derech ha'ir, the city. Jerusalem, that's where our tefillot. We know the Beit HaMikdash is Beit Tefillah. We're going to get there. Asher Bacharta. This is the city you chose. This is the city that our heart has to be towards when we daven. Hayom eid b'Yerushalayim. The guy, he's in Jerusalem. Yechaven el libo keneged Beit HaMikdash. And he's got, you know, are you in Ramot or Talpiot or whatever? You have to face a different direction. Much more confusing. Here it's very easy. Here you face east. In Israel, it's actually confusing what direction you face sometimes. And what angle do you hit the Kotel? I don't even know what they do in a lot of, like, here at the Tayelet. So, you know, you can face it in 17 different directions, you know. Okay, anyways. Shenemar v'palalu el, and the when these rabbis were saying this, none of them had probably been in Yerushalayim, ever. It's a whole different, not the reality that we have. V'palalu el, a bayit hazeh. So you have the country, the city, the house. Hayam eved amikdash. You're standing in the temple itself. You face the Holy of Holies, which was the western side. You know, the Kodesh HaKodeshim went from east to west. The western end was where the Kodesh HaKodeshim was. That's pretty cool. You're standing in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. I mean, you're the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Or maybe you're right near it. You're a Kohen you know, outside the Kodesh Kodeshim, perhaps. So there was a curtain that separated the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodeshim, where only the Kohanim could go and where only the Kohen Gadol could go. And that's where they used to sprinkle the blood on Yom Kippur. On the, that that one of the places they sprinkle the blood, that's what you have to base. Hayom made a charei beit hakaporet. You're on the other side of the temple. You're like went too far west. Yiras mokili livnei hakaporet. You should see yourself as if you're on the front, staring at the holy of holies. Nimsa made b'mizrach. So now you're in the east. Machzir panav l'marav. So you face west. B'marav, if you're in the west, machzir panav l'mizrach. You face east. B'darom, if you're south, you face north. B'tzafon machzir panav l'darom. Nimsu, second white line, lamedam al-alef, kol Yisrael mechuvanim et nivam l'makom echad. The entire Jewish people have their heart pointed in one direction. Amravi avdi invitim e ravavina, maikra'a. What's the biblical verse? Kimagdil David Savarecha Banui Litalpiot. The Tower of David is Banui Litalpiot. What's Talpiot? That's a neighborhood in Yerushalayim, but that's right. Tail, a hill, Shakol Piot Ponim Sho. In other words, it's a plain word piot from the word mouth. So when we say our lips, when our lips move, they should all be pointed towards the one hill. Right, Yerushalayim, I guess the Har Habayit, the hill. That's everybody should be pointed. Truth of the matter is Rabbi Soloveitchik claim that it was a biblical law that a shul has to face Yerushalayim. It's not just a nice thing to do. It's actually a din min haTorah. In Toronto, it's not an issue, but you go to New York, and the base measures in YU, I think, men of base measures did not face east. A lot of shuls in New York don't face east. Whatever, construction, it was very hard. So I know Rabbi Ganak, apparently, the head of the OU, apparently when he built a shul in Englewood, they built it, and they had to spend like hundreds of thousands of dollars because he went to the Rav. He was very close to Rav Soloveitchik. And they said, you should redesign. It's really not right. You should not build a shul that's not facing east. I mean, here, not facing east. Anyways, that's
we're
just...
not facing east.
What? Where are we facing?
Facing...
I mean, today it's a little weird. You see, I don't want to, you know, ruin it, but the Gemara probably assumed that the earth was flat. Right, most likely the Gemara thought the earth was flat, which is no big deal. Why should have they known the earth was, I don't know, when did people know the earth was round? So it's clear from certain points in the Gemara they were...
Actually, I take it back, we are facing east, right. But Jerusalem is...
Yeah, southeast or whatever, right? We never...
The
Gemara is not aware of time differences. The Gemara never talked, and there's a whole discussion in the Gemara, what does the sun do at night? It sounds like the Gemara thought the earth was flat, but that's a whole different... And we get into this thing. They never talk about it. Well, if the earth is flat, there are no time differences. There would be no time difference. No, the Gemara talks about time difference between a mountain and a valley on Shabbos and when the sun sets.
The world was wide enough that you would know that it was.
No.
I don't know. I'm not expert, but. Yeah, the simple reading of Gemara is, I understand it, they thought the earth was, maybe there were some of them who knew more, I don't know. I don't know, when in general knowledge did people know the earth wasn't flat?
Copernicus.
Yeah, so that's much late. No, Copernicus said the earth revolves around the sun. I think they knew before him, or maybe some didn't know. Okay, right, so why would the rabbis in the Talmud know? We come from the world of thought that the rabbis don't have any magical knowledge in science, and their science is gained from the science of the world, I'm sorry? That's the approach I was raised with. That's the approach, Rabbi Herzog. We're all raised. That's the approach of the Rambam. Today, that approach is being negated in certain circles. But okay, Avuah de Shmuel, the father of Shmuel. We've had him before. He doesn't have a name. Shmuel's father. Usually we call somebody the son, the Levi. When they wanted to get up early in the morning, so this is important for us. This comes up all the time. They had to go to work. They had to go somewhere. So they would get up early and daven. And the way Rashi learns, they would learn Kodem Hayom, before day. It would be before sun, before dawn. Not really. That's before Shachrit, they would daven. V'chi havimateis man Kriyat Shema. And when the time for Kriyat Shema came, they would say it again. We've discussed this before. That not just in the summer at Mariv, they have to say Kriyat Shema over again because it's too early. Right, when you daven the 7 o'clock minyan, sometimes at the 6:30 minyan, when you say Shema at 6:45, it's too early. You're not Yotze. So you have to say Shema again, like we say Shema again. So that's what they would did. Having met this man, Kriya Shema Karu. Kiman, who does this go according to? Like, Ki Haitana Detanya. Hishkim, let's say, Derech. If a person wants to go out on the road, Mivim Lo Shofar. It's very interesting. Where's he going on Rosh Hashanah? Right? Maybe going to some Shua. I don't know. Very interesting. They bring him a shofar, Vitokeya, early in the morning. Lulav, Umenanea. They bring him a lulav. He's traveling Yontav. Megillah. Okay, that I hear a little better. Bekore. Ba'ukeshemagias man kriyat shema. In other words, he's blowing. He's doing these really early in the morning. It's either before dawn, can't tell, or after dawn, but way well before sunrise. And you're not supposed to ideally do any of these mitzvot before sunrise. But the yebed, if you did it after dawn, you fulfill your obligation. But if you did it before dawn, you don't fulfill your obligation. But you're supposed to wait till netzachama, which is, we assume, approximately 72 minutes later. Like, I don't know, the days are beginning to get a lot longer. I mean, in the morning, not as much as in the afternoon. When is Nate's these days? Anybody know? I don't even know. 7:30? When's Nate? 7:31. Okay, guys, I leave the house at about 7:20. It's still, darkish. Then they would, Korei. Hishkim leshib bakaron. He went to go on a wagon, whatever, obisfina, on the boat. Mipalel. He davens at home. And when the Kriyat Shema time, he'll read. In other words, he davens first. He doesn't say Shema at home. Not the way we do. Because Shema is not part of the davening. He davens at home. We'll say Shema later. Okay, apparently, it's not like he says it twice. I don't think he says it at all. Rav Shima ben Elazar Amer, Benkach u'benkach korei Shema mipalel. Rav Shima ben Elazar says no. Even though he doesn't really fulfill his obligation for Shema, Benkach u'benkach, no matter when he's saying Shema, he should say Shema and then daven. Kedei sheyismach ge'ula l'tvila. In order that he should put ge'ula next to tvila, you want the redemption. And so you want to say the words, Gal Yisrael and Ezra Davateinu, all that whole stuff before. And that's okay. B'mai k'miplegei, what are they arguing? Whether you should daven Shema before or after. Marsavar tvila mu'maradi. So the opinion that they would daven at home says, you know what, when you daven at home before you leave, you can concentrate, you can focus. Tvila umaradi. Umar savar mismach gula letviladi. No, it's better to daven even with less kavana, but the order of the davening, that kriyat shema comes before tvila, is more important. Okay, it's an interesting argument. You have to leave early. What's better, to daven sort of, at the wrong time, or with more concentration, or at the right time with less concentration. Mereimar Marzutra, now Rashi has a long explanation here. Havimichan ve'be'esara b'shapta d'ragla. Okay, Mereimar Marzutra, they were the rabbis in their towns, and apparently the whole davening structure was a lot different. And they used to give a drasha in the morning. They used to speak, they used to give a shir early in the morning. And people would come to the shir. And when Kriyat Shema time came, they started the shir before you could daven, right? Early in the morning. So people would walk out of the shir in the middle and daven. They missed davening. They're giving the shir. They went to give the shir early in the morning. So Havi Mechan Fe Asara. So they would gather 10 people at 10 o'clock in the morning. I don't know, after the shir is over, to make a minyan, umatsli, so they could daven. Father Nafkalapirka. And then they would go and continue learning. Ravashi Havimatsli Bahadi Tsipura Biyachid. Ravashi what? He davened Matsli Bahadi Tsipura. Oh, so Ravashi would daven by himself. In other words, when the community, when people are walking out to daven, he would sit there and he would quickly daven. He wouldn't gather a minion together. He would just daven, in the breaks. The gabbai's making a mishaberach, so I'll daven then. Miyushav, he was sitting down. He didn't do a formal davening. He just threw in a few words as he could. Kiavi atelebeta. When he got home, much later, hadar umatzim uma. Then he stood up as he's supposed to. See, daven, you're supposed to daven when you sit down. So he would daven again. Amrele Rabbanan, so the rabbis say, V'levid Mark and Mereimar Marzutra. Why don't you like Mereimar Sutra and daven at 5:30 in the morning? Before, or gather the people much earlier. Amrele Tirchel and Milton, it's a a big pain. It's too hard for me. I can't be bothered. The Levi Mark Avua the Shmuel of the Levi. Do like Avua and Shmuel the Levi that they would daven. Right, the first one is gathered the 10 people, said it's too hard. So daven early in the morning. No. I didn't see any great rabbis who did this. My rabbis taught me you cannot daven early in the morning. Before it's daytime, how can you daven? It's like eating matzah on Shavuos, you know, like it's not time to daven. In other words, that's the amazing thing. But here, the other rabbi said, no, we're going to daven before it's time to daven. And we'll say Kriyat Shema later. Now, what about it's too early to daven? It really is. In other words, let's say you want to daven Shacharit at 5 o'clock in the morning. You have a plane to catch. You have to be at the airport at 6 o'clock. You have a plane to catch. You don't want to daven on the plane. Too hard. Like this thing. So you say Kriyat Shema later. What about Tefillah? So according to the first opinion, they would daven at 5 o'clock in the morning. It's like 3 o'clock. It's like mamash, the middle of the night. It's like, how can you daven Shacharit? So presumably, and I'm sure they're not wearing you know, tefillin. I'm sure they're not wearing tefillin. But don't wear tefillin at night. It's unrelated mitzvah. Presumably, they're following the opinion that the times of davening have no fixed times. Halavai palel atam kol yom kulo. In theory, you can daven any time. The rabbis instituted shacharit mincha maariv, but that's a rabbinic innovation. Really, any time is kosher for davening. So they're probably relying on that. I can daven any time. And Kriyat Shema, because... who was it? The last person we had, I forget his name, Ravashi, and he said, "No, you can't daven at 5 o'clock in the morning. I don't care. I never saw anybody of stature do something like that." Okay. Anyway, so that's an interesting. Well, it comes up all the time today. Mishnah. Okay, so this is interesting. In case you don't want to daven like Musaf, you want to go home early on Shabbos. The davening is. It's too long, so can you leave before Musaf? Rav Elazar ben Azariah Mer, ain't to let him Musafim ela bechaber. So Rav Elazar ben Azariah says, you know what? You can't daven Musaf if you don't have a minion. No such thing to, if you're on a business trip, you're not in shul on Shabbos morning, you don't daven Musaf.
Really?
You don't, according to Rav Elazar, we're learning the Gemara. According to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, you do ain't, why? Musaf is very different. I just said you can daven all day, anytime, because tefillah is rachamim. That's what the Gemara says. Tefillah is mercy. Musaf is nothing like that. Musaf is only because they brought a special korban. It's not mercy. We don't ask God for anything, really. You can't make up musaf. If you miss shacharit, you daven mincha twice. You miss musaf, you don't make it up. So, yeah, part of the halachas of musaf, the rabbis decided it was for the korban seaboard. The musaf was, in other words, when we daven in the morning, we daven for our health and wealth and well-being. When they brought a korban musaf, there was no individual aspect to the korban musaf. The entire korban musaf was on behalf of the Jewish people. So if you're not with the entire Jewish people represented by a minyan, you don't daven musaf. That's the opinion. Yeah, of course. Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos, Yontif, Rosh Hashanah. You know, I assume Rosh Hashanah too, right? V'chachamim amrim. Yeah, that's interesting. V'chachamim amrim. V'chaver ha'ir u'v'shaloch ha'ver. So the chachamim right away disagree. No. You can daven. I can daven Musaf. Rav Yehuda mer mishmo. Rav Yehuda quoting Rav Elazar ben Azariah. He has it well slightly different. Kol makom she'esh b'chaver ha'ir. He says, sort of the same, but sort of the opposite. Wherever you have a minion, kol makom she'esh chaver ha'ir, yachid patur mitzulat ha'musafim. Then you don't even have to daven. As long as it's Sibur's davening, you don't have, 10 people have to daven musaf. Chaver yachid patur mitzulat musafim. That's what the Gemara is going to explain. Rav Yehuda ha'inu Tanakama. The servants, Rav Yehuda looks like Tanakama. You need a chaver ha'ir to daven. So the Gemara says, "Ika beinayu yachid shelo bechaver ha'ir." We're talking about an individual who lives in a city without a minion. The Tanakama savar, your pater, you don't have to daven. If there's no chaver ha'ir, you don't daven musaf. You live in Hicksville. You're on the who knows where on a business trip. No musaf. Rav Yehuda savar chayav. Rav Yehuda says, you're chayav, you're only patur if there's a minyan davening. A minyan has to daven. So, but if there's no minyan davening, you better daven. In other words, somebody's got to daven, so you have to daven. Amar Rav Huna, Rav Chinin, Rav Chiyav, Bar Rav, halacha ka Rav Yehuda. The halacha is like Rav Yehuda, that you have to daven musaf, But you don't have to, but you come to shul and you want to go to the Kiddush club early and you want to leave in the middle of Musaf, as long as you leave a minyan, I shouldn't say that, but as long as you leave a minyan in shul, that's fine, you don't have to daven. As long as there's a minyan davening, you don't have to daven. Shenemar is what it seems like, right? Shemar Shem Rabbi Elazar ben Azar. Amar le Rechi bar Avin, Shapir Kamar, you said well. Damar Shmuel, Shmuel living in Babel. Mimai lo matzlina and sluta de musafim biyachib in the Harda. In the Harda, Harda was a big city. I never once in my life davened musaf on my own. Why? Because Naharda always had a minion. There was always a minion, and the shliach zibur, as Rashi said, the chazan davened for me. I never davened musaf in my life. Always the chazan davened for me. I would be in shul, I'd listen to chazan, whatever. It was Rashi said, v'yishyesham zibur v'shaliach v'trani. The shliach zibur exempted me from davening musaf. Interesting. Levar miyahu yoma, except for one day, data pumasa, the army came in. The Malka, Lamata, the army came in, Vadrida Rabbanan, and they drove everybody, I don't know, they bothered them. Velot Salu, there was no minion that day, they closed up the shuls. Vitzali li biyachit, so I had a daven on my own. I had a daven, like Rabbi Yehuda says, if there's no minion, you got a daven on your own. I was like an individual, not in a city, where not with a minion. Davening. Yati Rabbi Chanina, Karakamei the Rav Yane, Viyati Bikamar, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. This is what we follow. Shomer Shumer of Elazar ben Azaria, that you don't have to daven if there's a minion, but if there's no minion, you do have to daven. Amar Le, Pokra, go on and see, go on and read the Pasuk, Lebrata, Ain Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. No, no, no. Halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, Shomer Shumer of Elazar. Okay, debate. This have all the time. Amar Rav Yochanan, Ani Reiti at Rabbi Yanai. I saw Rabbi Yanai, that Sali Bahadar Sali. He davened, and then he davened again. So what? So must be that he doesn't hold like Rav Elazar ben Azarya. He holds you have to daven the musaf even if you're on your own. Otherwise, why would he daven twice? So Amarle Rav Yirmiya the Rav Zera, Bidilma Mekar Loki Vein Data. No, no, no. Maybe he didn't daven musaf. Now, we saw him daven twice, so we're assuming he davened shakrit, and then he davened musaf on his own without a minion. The word said, no, maybe he davened like shachri twice. Why did he daven shachri twice? So this used to be the halacha. We don't do this anymore. Because maybe he didn't have kavana. Maybe he didn't have proper intent. He was half asleep. He was daydreaming when he davened shachri. So you have to daven again. Well, davening is all what your thought process are.
You're talking about shachri and then musaf?
He davened twice. So the original assumption of the Gemara was he davened shachri and musaf. Right, and then where it says maybe not, maybe he davened shakri twice. Nobody heard what he davened. Maybe he davened shakri twice. Dilma mikara lo kivein date. He didn't have the proper kavana. Ulebasov kivein date. That's why he davened the second time.
You have to be in the room where the
musaf davening
is happening.
Listen, we don't. According to the view, that you only daven with a minion, you can't daven on your own. According to the other view, that if there's a minion davening, you don't have to daven.
If you're in the room with the minion, you have to be in the room with
it. Yeah. That's what Shmuel said. I never personally daven because I would just listen to the chazan.
So you can't go out to the kiddush club.
Right, unless you hold that you don't have to daven. In other words, go makom sheish chaveri or yachid patur. He's patur, meaning he doesn't have to daven at all. Shmuel's not going to go to the Kiddush club and miss musaf, but maybe somebody else would. I don't know. In other words, when you're asking a question, when the Mishnah says you're patur from musaf, does that mean he doesn't have to daven at all, or it just means he has to listen to the chazan? So I think it means he's patur totally. Shmuel was just saying he would stay in shul, but he wouldn't actually daven as long as 10 other people are davening. He doesn't have to daven. But now we have this question.
Everybody takes that. Right. Nobody's daven.
Right. So by the way, we sort of assume that's the halach, at least according to, I think, Rav Soloveitchik, I think, that's the what we assume in Kriyat Torah. In other words, Megillat Esther, everybody goes crazy. You have to hear every word of the Megillah. You have to hear the Megillah. They make 5 Megillah readings. We don't do that by lane. What, people don't want to get late to shul and miss Rishon and miss Shani, they go to the bathroom? No, you ever see somebody, I missed Ravi, lane Ravi for me. We never do that. Because we assume there's not really an individual obligation to your creditor. Creditor is an obligation on the minion. It's very nice for you to be part of the minion, so you can participate as the minion creditor, but you don't have an individual obligation to your creditor. But not for Musaf. That's the debate. What about Musaf? Correct. That's exactly what we're arguing here. Is there an individual option by Musaf? So by Kriyasa Torah, there's more an obligation. You see, it's Talmud Torah, but even there, there's not really, we don't assume that. That's the question. Like, the Netziv has a tshuva about that. They, let's say, you miss Minyan at Shachrit. Should you gather together a Minyan at Mincha? And make to hear Kriyasa Torah. You miss Monday morning Shachrit. People don't generally do that. We assume, I don't think people normally do that. But maybe once if you hold it's a personal obligation, then you should hear Kriyasa Torah at Mincha. You're on the train, you're traveling in the morning, so you missed it. So should you get together a minyan and do Kriyasa Torah at Mincha time? Anyways, okay, back here. So I said, no, hold on. You're going to tell me Rav Yanai didn't have kavana. Whoa. That's not nice to say, but, Chazi man gavar rabba kama sedela. Who are you talking about? That, he had it up in twice. Are you saying that actually Rashi interprets it? Rav Yochanan said the story. Shachrit and Musaf. You can trust he got the story right. He didn't daven Shachrit twice. It's always happening. Okay. Ravami viravasi. There were 13 shuls in Tveria. Lo ave matzlele b'nei amude. They didn't go to any shuls. They only daven in Hechad Havi Garsi, where they used to learn. We don't have this distinction so much. I mean, we do a little bit. But in the time of the Gemara, there was a Beit Midrash where you learned and a Beit Knesset. As a matter of fact, those Gemaras before with the Remar in the morning, Shachrit, they would give the drush in one place and they would go somewhere else. To daven. The Beit Knesset was where you daven. The Beit Midrash was where you learned. So Rabasi, however, they held not so. They held you should also daven where you learn. Alabeni amun hechadavi garsi. Itmar. Rav Yitzchak Rav Dimi Omer Mishum Rabbeinu. Halacha ka Rav Yehuda Shemar Mishum Rabbi Elazar Ben Azariah. That you don't have to daven if there's a chaver ha'ir, who, a minion that's davening. Rav Chiya Bar Abe Tzali Vahadar Tzali. Rav Chiya bar Abba daven and then he daven again, like we just saw before, right? Amar le Rav Zeir, my tama avid mar hachi. Why did you daven twice? Ilema mishum de lo kivin mar daite. If you're saying because I didn't have proper intent, I wasn't paying attention. Vamar Rav Elazar. So what did he say? Lolam yamura daven etzmum yechol lechavein et libo yipala vimla v'al yipala. Whoa. How could that be? It's not that you can't daven without kavanah. You shouldn't daven. If you know, if your mind is wandering, if you're thinking about something, don't daven. So before you daven, right, the anti-salach is all the time. The Shulchan Aruch, I believe, like Paskins, a person's lost a ton of money in the stock market and whatever, and he can't think properly about davening. He doesn't daven. Well, what's he davening for? To mumble words that he doesn't mean?
To recoup his money.
Okay, but then he's really davening, then he means it, right? Then he can contrary. But there is this notion that if you didn't have davening, you know, if you couldn't have kavanah, you wouldn't daven. He said davening was much more fluid than it is today. So a person, he shouldn't have davened if he doesn't have kavanah. So he, what do you mean he davened twice? No, he wouldn't have davened the first time. Not that he wouldn't have kavanah. We can accept a rabbi can't have kavanah, but we can't accept that a rabbi would daven if he didn't have kavanah. He wouldn't.
If he started off with kavana and then
have. Vim lava gvila. Okay. Ela de lo itkar mar de resh yurcha. He forgot yala viyavo. That's why he damaged. He had kavana. But he forgot it was yala viyavo. He was focusing. Okay. Vatanya, we learned. To avelo iskir shorosh kodesh barvi. But we all know if you daven, if you don't say yala viyavo at mariv, emachzim remoto. Apparently, you only have to say Yalav Yavo once. If I miss the mark, big deal. I'll say it at Shachrit. Shachrit, you miss the Shachrit, no big deal. Emach Zirinto, he doesn't have to repeat it. So I miss it at Shachrit. Who cares? B'musafim emach Zirinto. If he forgets it, Musaf, no big deal. Mivnei Shiachol Lomro b'Mincha. I could say to him, so he said to him, So why do you have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei? You had a few other chances to mention Rosh Chodesh. Amar Leh, didn't you learn? Lavi Dmar Leh, Amar Rav Yochanan, B'tzibur Shanu. It's different in if you're davening with a minyan. Why? So Rashi has two explanations. One is because if you forget Yalav Yavo at Shachrit in a minyan, you'll hear the Chazan say it in the repetition of the Shmoneh Esrei. It's good enough. And then you'll mention it at Musaf. So you don't have to repeat it. But if you're davening on your own, you would have to say it again. I don't really think so. I think the standard halacha is you have to repeat the Shachrit. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik had a chiddush that today you don't repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. That he says the reason you repeat the Shmoneh Esrei, you make an extra tefillah, a tefillah nedava. You do a voluntary prayer. And we don't do voluntary prayers anymore because we can't pray, you know, three times properly. So he assumes you'd like the Gemara. I believe Rav Chaim assumes like the Gemara, but the standard, yes, like your standard rabbi, he'll tell you if you forget a shachri, you have to repeat, and we don't rely on the chazan. But you see, the Gemara says we do, but, you know, lots of things change. And the Bahag has a very interesting explanation that Rashi quotes. B'tzibur shanu means if the chazan forgets, then you don't repeat it. The individual always repeats it. Why does the chazan not repeat Shmoneh Esrei? Tircha d'tzibur. Waste time.
The chazan never forgets because everybody shouts out as soon as he begins to forget.
Either people don't listen or they have kavod for the chazan. It's not right. You know, Rav Soloveitchik had a rule in the shul. I've seen a number of the shul. I haven't read all the stuff. You send out the minhagim book. So I know in a couple of the minhagim books, they write, no one is allowed to correct a bal kori. If there's a problem, you go to the rabbi between aliyot. And the rabbi will tell you, was that a big enough mistake that he has to repeat the pasuk? And if not, you go on. It's very embarrassing. People yell out from the back of the shul. I think that's a great idea. I don't care if the guy makes a mistake. I will never yell out a correction. Usually other people will, but Rav Soloveitchik said, now, you have to be, you want to get a bal kori who's good. When you have such a system, you want to make sure your bal kori is pretty good. But even you have a bar mitzvah boy, Rav Soloveitchik felt you should never correct the bar mitzvah boy. Never. Even if he makes terrible mistakes,
That's different than a regular bal kori.
I understand, but they correct bar mitzvah boys. And that's worse. And they correct him. And I, from what I was understood, happened a few times. They had people who lained horrifically, nothing. And the firma people made a minyan afterwards, after shul, when nobody knows they hear Kriyas Torah. No big deal. Like, they didn't pronounce it. Again, it's not Megillat Esther. It's not an individual chiv. I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, but a choice between embarrassing a bar mitzvah boy and not hearing the laning. So I say, you don't hear the laning. We already said Kriyat Shema. Remember, we learned the second parak. Karava lo diktek botioteha. You didn't pronounce the words really right. You mumbled the words, you mispronounced them. Yotze, that's a Doraita mitzvah. Kriyat Shema, this is a rabbinic minute to read the Torah. So he got a few words wrong. I mean, it's not, I know it's not the traditional, but there's something to that, you know. Anyways, somebody said, the other people should read again, but you don't want to embarrass the bar mitzvah boy. Maybe you don't want to embarrass anybody. Anyways, so B'tzibur Shanu, but I don't think that's, whatever. You know why? No, the real answer, people didn't. Who came to shul? Why did he do Chazar HaShatz in the time of the Gemara? Because people didn't know how to daven. They didn't know to correct B'tzibur. Whatever he did, whatever the Chazan did was right. They had no idea it was wrong. Okay. Kami Yishev ben Tvila la Tvila. If you have to daven again, you forgot, like Shachar, you're davening Mincha twice. Rav Huna Rav Chista, Chanamar Kadesha Titchonein Dato, till your mind gets, you're in the groove. Chanamar Kadesha Titcholel Dato. Rashi says they mean the same thing. The same thing, just the language is, it's a literary argument. Okay. Manda Mar Kadesha Titchonein Dato. Chonen is that Chanan. That's Moshe. I cried out to God. I beseech God. Manamar Kadesha Titcholel Dato Vayachal Moshe. Moshe beseech God. Right? Two different times. That Chanan. And I don't know what the difference is. Rashi says they mean the same thing. But obviously there must be some literary difference. Like two words in English, they mean the same thing. But you use them in different contexts. Okay. Amar Ravana Namarav. Ta'avalo Iskir Rosh Kodesh Ba'arvit. So before the Gemara said, because you can say it at Shachrit, you don't repeat it. Now we give a slightly different reason. This is the more famous reason, and this only applies to Mariv. You only do Kiddush HaChodesh in the daytime. You can't sanctify the moon, new moon at night, so therefore you don't have to read the Shmoneh Esrei. Why don't you say, because it's you don't have to daven Maariv, Maariv is a reshut? We say because you can't declare Rosh Chodesh tonight. I have a better answer. You didn't have to daven Maariv in the first place. Filat Arvit reshut, you don't have to daven. So you forget Yalaviyahu. And the answer is, it's a beautiful answer. You don't have to daven Maariv. But if you're going to daven Maariv, you have to daven properly. You can't say, I didn't have to daven, so I forgot Yalaviyahu. No. Daven properly. Don't daven. So you can't use it as an excuse, I didn't have to daven. Right? People say, I didn't have to volunteer. You're right, you didn't have to volunteer. But if you volunteer, you can't have a lackadaisical attitude. You got to do your job. You can't say, oh, I'm volunteering. What do you want from me? And that's it's an important idea, I think. Okay. So, so the Gemara wants to say that only applies if there are 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. So you forget the first night, but if you forget the second night, or there's only one night of Rosh Chodesh, then you do have to repeat it. Gemara says, Rav gave you a reason. It's not how big the month is, because we don't sanctify the new moon at night. Who cares if there's one day Rosh Chodesh too late? Mali chaser, mali loshna, makes no difference. Okay, Hadran alach to yilat ashrach. At the end of the fourth parak, let's start the fifth parak. Fifth parak is the halachas of had a daven. This is how a Jew is supposed to daven, or attitude towards davening. So we mentioned this. I don't know, every day different people are here. Like it's like a it's musical chairs. Yesterday we had 7 other people. Like nobody's the same, but all the other. Okay, anyways, all right, Beseder, Baruch Hashem. No, it's great. It's great. People come and go. It's every, you know, whatever. So I mentioned this Mishnah, Bichur Mincha Maariv. That's, you're not allowed to daven. You have to have a heavy head. A headache. What does it mean you have to have a heavy head? Rashi says, with humility, your head should be bowed. Can't stand up straight. Chasidim harishonim, the pious people. Hayu shoim sha'achar mipalim. They waited an hour to daven. So Soloveitchik says this is the origins of Psukei Dezimra. What did they do? They twiddled their thumbs. Now, I don't know if a shah means an hour or not. I don't know. It may not mean an hour. They would prepare themselves to daven. That idea is. So when I went to camp as a kid, so they always just have shach nathil takab shaket before every davening. You know, coming from playing, you know, baseball in camp, and people. So it's nice. Everybody take 1 minute takab shaket, and then we're going to daven. So they had a shah shaket, and then they would say psukei dezimra. That's a Rav Soloveitchik, I think, assume. Afilu amelech shoel v'shlomo. Even a king asks you, "How are you?" Lo yishaven. You shouldn't answer him. Afilu nachash karoch alakavol lo yafsig. Even if there's a snake around your leg, you don't interfere. Shmoneh Esrei, the total opposite of Shema. That's the Daf Yomi piece I sent out earlier today. The different Shema you do, you can stand on your head, you can be on the top of a tree, you don't have to think about it. Oh, that's good. Shema is totally different, but Lech Lecha B'derech, Shmoneh, you're not, Rashi actually says it, you're not standing before a king when you say Shema. When Shmoneh Esrei, that's a totally different attitude you have to have. Gemara, mina hanemile. How do you know this? How do you know you have to daven in a very serious attitude? Amar Rav Elazar d'amar kra v'hi marat nefesh. Chana was very bitter. Marat nefesh. She was, was despondent, whatever word. Mimai, so may don't bring a proof from Chana. Dilma Chana shani daven merir liba tuva. Chana, she couldn't have kids or her co-wife is making fun of her. Don't bring proofs from her. Her tefillah was different. We can't learn from her because of what she had to suffer. Interesting. So let's learn from David HaMelech. Vani barov chastecha, avo beitecha, eshtachavel, echal kotshecha, b'yiratecha. I will bow down in your home, b'yiratecha, and awe and fear. The Gemara says, don't bring me proofs from King David. Mimai Dilma David Shani, David Mitzar Nafshe Barachami Tuve. The implication is David HaMelech had a lot to do tshuva for. So he was really, really, really begging God for mercy. That's not an expectation for other people. I don't know. We can't learn from here. Those are exceptions. Chana and David are exceptions that we don't learn how to daven. That's very, it's rare. That's in itself is a fascinating concept. Because we already learned a couple of days ago, the reason, actually yesterday, the reason there are 9 brachot in Shmon Esrei of Rosh Hashanah is because Yerochanah invoked God's name 9 times. And the Gemara is going to say in a page, all the halachas of davening we learn from Chana to daven silently, all the things we learn from Chana. But the attitude, the Gemara is just saying we can't learn from Chana. Because she was so, she suffered so much, so to speak, you can't put that on other people. You should bow down to God behadrat kodesh, which means in beauty. Al tikra behadrat, with hadar, beauty, ela bechardat, with a charedi, one who's fearing. So the word says, also not necessarily, maybe say, no, pasuk means you should daven in beauty. What does it mean, daven in beauty? You get dressed up. It's a fancy occasion. You're going to meet the king. I mean, there is that whole concept. We're wearing black hats, whatever. It's ought to be dressed appropriately. He had the Rav Yehuda having mitzai nafshe. He would, he would put on a tie. That's what Rav Shakti used to say. Mekashet atzmo. He would dress up fancy, wear a jacket, whatever. However you hold it should be. V'hadar matzde. So hadra kodesh. You should wear your fancy clothes to daven. Elamar Rav Nachman Yitzchak. That's what mehacha. So how do you know you have to daven with this sort of awe and a lot of humility? Itu at Hashem biyira, worship God with awe. V'gilu biradat. So almost a contradiction. Gilu is gila, to be in joy, in trembling. We're in joy that we tremble before God. My v'gilu birada, amaravat bar matna, amarava b'makom gila. In their place of joy and davening, we're excited, we're standing before God. At the same time, you have to have radah, you have to balance the two emotions at the same time. Abaye have a yativ kameh, we're going to get the Rava. So Abaye was sitting in the presence of Rava. Chazid have a badach tuva, he was joking around. Abaye was making jokes, he was very unserious. Amar v'gilu birada. Oh, this is no way to come to shul. You have to have gilu birada, but with trembling. Okay, joy. Amarle, and no problem. Ana tefillin mancha. I'm wearing tefillin. So what? My tefillin will ensure that I don't get too out of hand. It's good. I'm in a good mood. I'm joking around. And my tefillin is, you see, I'm serious. If I wasn't serious, I wouldn't be wearing my tefillin. So it's a very interesting answer. Rav Yirmi have kame, yatib kame the Rav Zeira. Rav Yirmi was sitting in the presence of Rav Zeira, a little bit later. Historically later. Ha chazi davi kabadach like tuva, making lots of jokes. Badach tuva. Amarle, bechol etzev yemutar. What does that say? Is this all allowed? This is not how you have to be. I'm wearing tefillin. No problem. I show I'm serious. Mar bray de Ravina about hilula lebray. Ah, Mar, the son of Ravina, made a wedding for his son. Chazinu rabban and davi kabachi too. People were having a great time at the wedding. What do people do at the wedding? They party. They're drinking. They're joking around. You're going to recognize this. We all do this. Aita kasa de mokrei. He took a very expensive cup, but Arbameo Zeus, 400 Zeus, $25,000. He took a cup, whatever, betavar, kamayo, he broke it. You know, the minute we break a glass at the wedding, this is not to remember Yerushalayim, not here to remember Yerushalayim. This is here so people shouldn't get carried away and drinking and partying. Yeah, wedding is nice, right? But relax a little bit. So, v'tavar kamai v'itzvu, and everybody got upset. That kind of puts a damper on the party. You know, you break the fancy things. Ravashi, avi haluli lebrei. Ravashi made a wedding for his son. Chazina l'rabban and davi kabachi too. The rabbis are partying and joking and, you know, having a good time. Asa, same thing. Aita kasa v'zukte chiriti. Took a white, Rashi says, zechuchit levana, and a white glass. I guess some expensive thing. Doesn't say it was 400 zoos. That was, betavar kamaya beitzvu, and then calm the people down. Amarle rabbana le rabbam nuna, zute behilula demar bray de ravina. This is unbelievable. It's just like, rabbana said to rabbam nuna, zute behilula, why don't you say some praises? Give a speech. They invited rabbam nuna to give a speech at the wedding. Vihilula et Mar Bray de Ravina, at the wedding of Mar, the son of Ravina, that we saw before at his son's wedding. Now it's his wedding. Nishron Lamar, why don't you sing for us a song? Amar Lahu, so he started to sing. Vavalan de mitnin. We're all going to die. We're all going to die. That's what he's singing at the wedding. Because he wasn't so thrilled that people were partying way too much. Calm down, guys. Amarle, anan, mana, nebatrach. So they said, how should we answer them? What do we respond? The guy gets up at the wedding, gives a speech, we're all going to die. Like, you know, you don't invite him. You don't want to invite people like that to your wedding. Right? Amarle, hai Torah, v'hai mitzvah, domingo la'ah. But if you study Torah and you keep the mitzvah of the Torah, that will protect us. Wild. Amarav Yochanan, mishum rav shum v'yachai. Asur la'adam shimale p'schok b'yipolam hazeh. A person is not allowed to be yimaleh, can't be full of joy in this world. A little ivduot Hashem b'simcha, we should always be happy. And we're right, it says on the 9 days on Tisha B'Av, we have to stop. It says in 9 days in Tisha B'Av, nishanichnas av mimati b'simcha. When av enters, we lower our joy. It means we're still happy. The 9 days you have to be happy. Just not as happy as we are the rest of the year. That's really what it means. Shenemar, let's just get to the two dots if they're coming up soon, I think. Shenemar, az yimale schok pinu. We say, then, yimale schok pinu ushonenu rina. And our tongue shall be full of joy. Ematai, when can we have full joy? Bizman sheyem ruba goyim. And when the goyim say, higdil Hashem, lasot imela. When the goyim will recognize God and everybody recognize God, that's a time of full joy. Amru alav Resh Lakish. They said about Resh Lakish, Shameimav lo male schok people lamazah. He was never full of joy in the world. Wow. Michi Shameimi, Rav Yochanan Rabbi. Once he heard what Rav Yochanan said, Rav Yochanan, his teacher and his chavrusa, his part of the famous story, you know, they were brothers-in-law. Rav Yochanan was very, very pretty. Was considered very handsome, and Resh Lakish was very blown away by how handsome Rav Yochanan was. And Rav Yochanan said, you haven't seen anything yet. You got to take a look at my sister. She's way more beautiful than I am. I'll give you my sister as a wife if you learn Torah. And that's Resh Lakish and Rav Yochanan. And that's how they developed their relationship to learn Torah. Are we getting a minion from Marv? Or are we not getting a minion? Okay. Just stop here. Okay.